Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson hosts with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn in studio with me as well, a homeschool father of six and an elder in his church. Today we're going to talk about the end of the world as we know it. Now, it's good to be here. It did not happen Saturday.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
And I didn't really pay any attention to it.
I was
too busy working for Jesus.
Well, I did something on Friday night. I invited my speech and debate group, whoever could come over, for an end of the world party. And I actually made a cookie. I posted it on Facebook. I opened it up with, this is not a celebration of the end of the world. What we're celebrating is the sovereignty of God and that he's the one who's in control of what begins and what ends and when that all is going to happen. And that it was essentially a sarcastic party because of so many predictions that have not come to pass.
Wikipedia has given something like 173 predictions of the end of the world since roughly Jesus went back up into heaven. And this time, David Mead, he's a Catholic, is getting some airplay. He claimed the world would end last Saturday. It did not.
Yeah, he ended up changing it. He was saying how, Planet X, I think it was Nibiru or something like that, was this molten planet that circles the Earth every 3,500, 3,600 years, was coming back. And this time we were right in line with it. And so that was my cookie. I had a big pizza-sized cookie of the Earth and a smaller pizza-sized picture, cookie of Nibiru and having it crashed into the Earth. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think what's happening is he wants to extend it. In fact, he's extending it into October. So now he's saying the world is going to end in October, except that the world is not ending, but the world as we know it is ending. So I'm not exactly sure the distinction between the world ending and the world as we know it ending. But he seems to be couching it, and that's pretty safe.
Yeah, because you could say that pretty much every moment.
Yeah, you probably could, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, he says the significant number is 33. Jesus lived for 33 years. The name Elohim, which is the name of God for the Jews, is mentioned 33 times in the Bible. It's very biblically significant. I'm talking astronomy. I'm talking the Bible and merging the two. So, again, he's using some esoteric explanations to bring about some kind of a position. And this is a form of Gnosticism. I think people need to understand that when somebody brings forth a secret knowledge, especially based on numerology, it's usually given by a very dogmatic, confident, prophetic-like guy who attracts a following, and that's the whole point. He wants to attract the following. And the media really likes this guy because he's a subject of mockery.
Yeah, he is now, for sure.
They distract from any real preacher who warns concerning the final judgment. And that's what the world likes. The world likes somebody to distract us from the true prophetic statement.
Yeah, they hold these guys up to be the true prophets, the true Christians, that, and then when they fall, then it shows that Christianity is worthless and it's just a joke anyway.
But God has ordained these whack jobs to show up. And Steve, I think it's because when they give the wrong dates for the end of the world, the world can say, see, we told you so. See, we told you so. And the world can go on mocking, and they'll continue to say, where's the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming?
Yeah, things have been going on for the last 2,000 years.
Yeah, everything's been fine.
Yeah.
So,
uniformitarianism.
This is exactly what Peter said in 2 Peter 3, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. What does that mean? That means that eventually God brought judgment upon a world that was saturated in violence, things like abortion, infanticide, bloody pogroms, and I would say homosexuality, these sorts of things. They deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed a long time ago, but by means of this water, the world that existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed, since all these things are thus to be dissolved. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it, Steve?
Pretty much.
Yeah, what it says is that the Lord is going to come. The Lord is going to come in judgment. At some point, it's going to be pencils down, time's up. I think it's hard for people to realize that. They think everything's going to play like it has for the last 2,000 years. So far, no major worldwide destruction in 2,000 years. And therefore, we cannot expect any worldwide destruction for infinity, for the rest of eternity. Yeah. This is the idea that people have in their minds. And we can do whatever we want. We can get all tied up in our sinful desires. Now, what are sinful desires? Homosexuality, fornication, yes, your typical stuff.
Yeah.
Greed, I throw that into it. Fornication, pornography.
Sexual immorality.
We'll get all tied up in our sexual desires. And we'll scoff and scoff and scoff and say, where is the promise of his coming? And see, here's another stupid prophet that came in, gave us a date, and he never came. He never came. He never came. The scoffers will continue and continue to ask the question, where is the promise of his coming? But then I quote another prophet, Johnny Cash, one more time on the program. You can run on for a long time. You can run on for a long time. You can run on for a long time, but sooner or later, God will cut you down. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. Working in the dark against your fellow man, but as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, but sooner or later, God will cut you down. You know, Johnny Cash, I believe, became a Christian, and towards the end of his life, brought out some songs with tremendous gravitas. Mm-hmm. Songs like this, in which you know he's dead serious.
Yes.
At 72 years of age, you can run on for a long time, boy. You can run on for a long time, but sooner or later, God will cut you down. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. Where are the mockers? Where are the scoffers? Sooner or later, God will cut you down. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. Back on the Generations Broadcast. Will the world end in October as we know it? That's what David Mead is saying, yet another prognosticator concerning the end of the world. He claimed the world would end last Saturday. It didn't. We're still in studio. We're broadcasting, so evidently the world did not end. Nevertheless, the world will end someday. The world will end someday, friends. This present evil age will not continue forever and ever. This idea that people can get away with murder, the people can get away with breaking God's law with impunity indefinitely, and that somehow Jesus will not reconcile all things to himself, that somehow the world will not come to a state of glorification, that somehow Jesus can't pull off the complete adoption or redemption, is bogusness. Of course, Jesus will wrap this thing up, friends. It's going to be wrapped up at some point. But the date setting has gone on and on, Steve. Wikipedia includes 173 dates. Modern date setting began with a guy named William Miller in 1833. This all happened in the burned-over district in western New York State. That's where a host of cults developed. In fact, America is known for its cults. Thank you very much. This is one of the worst elements of America from the 1830s. America developed its cults out of the burned-over district, where Charles Finney did a fair amount of his work in western New York State. That's where the Mormons got their start, and that's where the spiritualist movement got its start, in Hydesville, New York, where the Fox sisters conducted their first seances. But for our purposes, western New York State was the place where the Millerites got their start. A Baptist lay preacher named William Millers announced that Christ was coming back on October 22nd, 1844, but he did not. Again, it's always in September or October, it seems.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I looked into this quite a while back, and everybody believes that the feasts are not all fulfilled. There are not everybody, but the vast majority of these people that, you know, we had Passover and the Feast of First Fruits and then Pentecost, and that the next feast, which is the Feast of Trumpets, which begins in the September-October time, is when Jesus is going to come because of in Thessalonians. It says the sound of the trumpet, voice of the Archangel Michael, and then he comes. And so they're thinking Feast of Trumpets.
Well, there's that, and there's probably 100 other arbitrary reasons. I mean, you can come up with your numerology. You can come up with 100,000 explanations for Jesus coming back tomorrow. Friends, this is so easy to do. It's not even funny. But in 1833, this Baptist lay preacher named William Miller announced that Christ was coming back October 22nd, 1844, and it was a great disappointment. It was called the Great Disappointment.
Wow.
In history, it's known as the Great Disappointment when Jesus did not comply with their expectations.
Yeah, he seems to do that a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't, yeah, does
God,
he?
God doesn't follow what we say.
He doesn't schedule things according to our timetables. Nonetheless, a group of Adventists met in Albany, New York in April of 1845 to readjust the message. And out of this group came the modern Seventh-day Adventists, formed by Hiram Edson in the Rochester, New York area. And then the Jehovah Witnesses evolved out of that movement, formed by Nelson Barber and Charles Taze Russell. And I'm going to say that was the 1880s, 1890s. And by the way, Steve, I don't know if you knew this, but even the Baha'i Faith traces its roots to the Millerites.
I did not know
that. Can you believe that? The Millerites developed the Baha'i Faith, the Adventists, the Jehovah Witnesses. Of course, the Mormons developed out of the same area. And I think this is the root issue, the root problem. As I discuss this in the new American history curriculum soon to come out, along with the three books we've already published. But when man comes to believe that he's in control of who gets saved, terrible things began to happen. And when you have evangelists, okay, Steve, they come into town and they think they can emotionally manipulate people into the kingdom of God. They think they can kind of push people and shove them. And by wearing them down, they can press them to a decision. When man comes to believe he's in control of who gets saved, or that man himself makes the decision, but other men can surround him and with strong preaching can manipulate his will to their wills, terrible things begin to happen. We're calling it burned over districts. Charismatic leaders try to control their followers. They manipulate the message. They create a message that focuses on the sensational, or they present themselves as prophets to understand the message of the end times better than everybody else. And Steve, I think this is the psychological thing that undergirds the whole cultic thing that whips people up into these cultic movements over the last 160 years or so. Then there was Edgar Wisenant, who predicted in his book 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Could Be in 1988 that it would occur between September 11th and 13th of 1988. So do you remember the 88 reasons why the rapture could be in 1988?
Now, the next year he wrote another book called The 89 Reasons Why It's Going to Happen in 89. And he was just happy he sold all the 88 books.
Yeah, those went to Blue Light Special bins. But then
they're giving them away now. Yeah,
the 89s sell for another 6 months.
Yeah.
If he can sell another 40,000 to people who are willing to put their money down for it. Friends, again, this is the psychology of it. Harold Camping predicted the rapture would occur September 6th, 1994, When it failed to occur, he revised the date to September 29th, then to October 2nd.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for that man.
Yeah.
That's too bad. No man knows the day or the hour. No man knows the day or the hour. What does that mean? That means that no man knows the day or the hour.
Yeah.
Seems to me, what part of that statement is hard for you to understand? Are you with me? Is there no man knows the day or the hour?
Except for
Harold Camping.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Or William Branham.
Yeah. No man knows the day or the hour, my friends. Now, some of you may be wondering what our eschatological perspective is. So what is Jesus doing? Well, he's not twiddling his thumbs in heaven. He's on the right hand of the Father. He's ruling until his enemies are under his footstool. So where is the Roman Empire that persecuted Jesus' people? That old Roman Empire, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Where is the Spanish Empire that persecuted Jesus' people in inquisitions in Spain and the Netherlands? It's gone.
It's gone.
It's like way gone.
Yeah.
Spain is the armpit of Europe these days. Where's the French Empire that persecuted Jesus' people, the Huguenots, in the 1600s? Whatever happened to the French Empire? It's gone. What happened to the British Empire that was persecuting God's covenanters in the latter 1600s, 1700s? Whatever happened to the British Empire? It's gone. Where's Hitler and the Third Reich?
They're gone.
Gone. Where's the Soviet Union?
It's gone. Pretty much gone, yeah.
And where's Jesus' kingdom?
It's clicking.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. And friends, this is the theme of my books. This is the theme of Taking the World for Jesus. I've just finished it. It's available. You can purchase a copy of what Jesus has accomplished in 2,000 years. Be sure you give your kids the worldwide perspective, the 2,000-year perspective. Otherwise, they're not going to have a right eschatological perspective if they don't have the truth, if they don't know what Jesus has done in the last 2,000 years. So Taking the World for Jesus is a 2,000-year compilation of how Jesus took over every nation, brought his gospel, established his church everywhere, while the empires of men fall. What happens to the kingdom of Jesus? It grows and it grows and it grows. Taking the World for Jesus, a brand new book, just off the press, or will be in a couple of weeks now, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. You know, and I understand the apocalyptic feel, Steve. And I know that people were feeling something of an apocalyptic feel as they saw the apostates like Charles Darwin and Nietzsche and Marx and others destroying the world. And they were destroying the world. They destroyed the Western world. And their ideas have been terribly corrosive. They have been very, very destructive. And so there is an apocalyptic feel, even with the ungodly. They bring out an apocalyptic movie about every 3 months, maybe, or is it 2 months?
Yeah.
I think it's about every 2 months. Yeah.
About that.
Apocalyptic movies are a dime a dozen these days. Why? Because modern man knows he's in trouble. He knows he's in trouble. He's got a conscience. Hello? You just don't get away with Obergefell and Roe v. Wade forever. And modern man knows that. You know he knows that, Steve. And he's got his apocalyptic movies. And so I understand the apocalyptic feel. The Western nations have exhibited more radical rebellion against Jesus than any other powerful nations in all of history. And we know that. But what's going on in history? Jesus is smiting the nations. He rules them with a rod of iron, and he treads out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's what he's doing. That's what happened to Hitler. That's what happened to the Roman Caesars, Revelation 19:15. But also remember that the fire of the Lord comes down from heaven and destroys the nations that set themselves against the church of God after the millennium in Revelation 29. So what is the point? The point is that the idea that the nations will get away with this terrible rebellion against God, the murder of a billion babies since 1960 in the celebration of Sodom and Gomorrah, they're not going to get away with it. They're not going to get away with it. Sooner or later, God will cut them down. Johnny Cash was right.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, God will cut you down.
It reminds me of Gamaliel in the New Testament when they were trying to get rid of Paul and Peter and John and all of them. Actually, it was Peter and John. He said, well, this guy rose up and he was nothing and he was gone. And this guy rose up and he came to nothing and he was gone. Yeah. But you don't fight against God.
You don't pick a fight with the living God.
That's right.
Oh, friends, come on. Get a right perspective of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who's preeminent far above all principalities and powers on the right hand of the Father. His kingdom is established. His kingdom has come around the world. Now, I believe that Jesus could come back in the next 20 to 50 years, or maybe even 500 years from now. Now, see, I don't have a date. I believe it could be either way, But I believe that Jesus could come back within the next 20 to 50 years to judge these nations and consummate his kingdom. Judgment Day. I believe that could happen. And I think Christians need to continue to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. I'm crying out for it, Steve. I'm just so tired of this world and what this world is doing. I want Jesus to come in judgment and in redemption both. I think we desire this, friends. Now, what do Christians do? Okay, here's what Christians do. Christians need to be sure they're not beating on each other, especially over their eschatology.
Yeah.
That would be a good start. You with me, Steve?
Yeah. I've got good friends who are amillennial, postmillennial, premillennial, panmillennial.
Exactly. Yeah. Christians need to be sure they're not beating on each other, friends. Come on. Let's stop beating on each other. Luke 12:44. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. He's talking about his own coming. And at an hour he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. In other words, there are professing Christians who love the world and hate their fellow believers. That's what Jesus is saying here. There are Christians, professing Christians, who love the drunkenness and the fornication, the pornography. They love Hollywood and Nashville and the bad worldviews represented. But when it comes to the church, they're divisive, they're proud, they're malicious, and they're envious. And what Jesus says here, those professing Christians who love the world and hate their fellow believers, they're not acting like Christians. And when he comes back, he will cut them in pieces. So what's the message for Christians? Well, the message for Christians is to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. The message from Christians is to hate the world, to hate the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, to hate the things that the world values, like the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and to love their fellow believers. See, I think some have it backwards in their minds. They're so excited by the latest Hollywood flick. But when it comes to loving their fellow believers, they're just so divisive and proud and envious. Friends, that's exactly what Jesus does not want. So I guess the end of the program is a call to repentance and to get ready and to be ready and to love the brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. Be sure your relationships in the body are good. And you're not just fighting and beating your brothers and sisters right and left, but you're rather hating the world. You're going up against these worldly systems, and you're willing to oppose worldly ideas, and you're loving the brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what matters. That's what matters. Let's love Christ, and let's love his children. That's what matters the most.
Yeah, and what I'm preaching on this Sunday, Hebrews 13:9, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace.
Amen. Amen. Let's seek to love one another, friends, and let's be sure we've received the forgiveness of Christ, that we've come to the cross and we've asked forgiveness for our sins and received his justifying righteousness, his forgiveness. Oh, let's be sure that we've humbled ourselves before God, we've cried out for his mercy, and that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, then we will be saved. And that's the promise from Acts 16:31. Be sure you're ready. I have a bumper sticker on the back of my Camry, Steve, and it says, very simply, I have a single bumper sticker. I've chosen this carefully. I've had it made for myself. It says, are you ready for the final judgment? It's a bit of an unpopular bumper sticker, but I do want to love my neighbor. I want to be sure my neighbors have considered that question before the judgment. So I ask that question. And then we put my daughter's cell phone on it in case you want to get ready. Call my daughter's cell phone. Yeah. She hasn't received a call.
Wow.
She has not received a single call. We've had the bumper sticker on the bumper for about 2 years. So it's been a bit of an experiment to see if anybody's concerned about their soul. And I don't see that there's very many out there, at least who would respond to a bumper sticker. All right, my friends, are you ready for the final judgment? An important question on this edition of the Generations broadcast. I'd encourage you to our Matthew study guide and as well our Psalms and Proverbs study guides as important devotionals for your family as you get ready, as you bring the gospel that's found in the book of Matthew and the book of Psalms and the book of Genesis as well, as you bring the gospel to your children, be sure that you ask them these questions. And I'd encourage you to our Bible study guides available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. I'd really point you to that Matthew Bible study guide based on J.C. Ryle's expository thoughts on the Gospels. Be sure that you have these important resources. Now, obviously, you can read the Word of God to your children, but these devotionals can be very helpful to your family. So check them out at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Tuesday, October 3rd, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Country musician Jason Aldean had just started singing at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival in Las Vegas on Sunday night when a rapid series of bullets, presumably shot from a fully automatic rifle, rained down on the concertgoers. It was the deadliest mass shooting in American history. 59 people died and over 500 were wounded. One middle-aged female eyewitness gave this account.
The shots just kept coming, and there was a man that was shot right there. They were trying to take him out. He was all bloody and he was unconscious. And one of my friends was helping him out, and they got him out, and we ran, and everybody's hiding everywhere. I mean, they're hiding under the bleachers and the stanchions and anywhere they could, and everyone's telling us to run, run as fast as you can. My husband and I ran out toward our car. There were people hiding underneath my car for cover. There was a gentleman that was shot, and he said, "Can you help me?" And so I put him in my car, and I had like six people in my car.
Police have identified the shooter to be Stephen C. Paddock, who opened fire from his hotel room on the 32nd floor at Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino. The 64-year-old shooter was a real estate investor from Mesquite, Nevada. He died from a self-inflicted wound before the police reached him. President Donald Trump said this.
My fellow Americans, we are joined together today in sadness, shock, and grief. It was an act of pure evil. Hundreds of our fellow citizens are now mourning the sudden loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother or sister. We cannot fathom their pain. We cannot imagine their loss. To the families of the victims, we are praying for you and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period. Scripture teaches us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We seek comfort in those words, for we know that God lives in the hearts of those who grieve.
Paddock's father, Benjamin Hoskins Paddock, was a bank robber, a prison escapee, and described by the FBI as, quote, psychopathic, unquote. Exodus 20, verse 4 reminds us that the Lord your God is a jealous God. visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate him, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love him and keep his commandments. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the attack, calling the shooter a, quote, recent convert, unquote, to Islam. This attack follows another concert attack when Ariana Grande was performing in Manchester, England on May 23rd, where 22 died and 59 others were wounded. Please pray that God would comfort those who lost a loved one and that he would quicken the recovery of the injured. Not to be forgotten, over 1,600 babies were murdered in abortion mills around America yesterday, in addition to the 100 murders of those outside the womb that take place on a daily basis in this country. Proverbs 1:16 says, "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood." Illinois' Republican Governor Bruce Rauner signed a bill allowing for taxpayer funding of abortion. The same bill also promises to protect abortion rights, even if the U.S. Supreme Court reverses Roe v. Wade. Additionally, Illinois has just about the worst pension debt in the nation. It's somewhere around $130 billion, with a funding ratio of only 35%, according to Bloomberg's numbers. Germany takes its place in history, performing homosexual faux weddings in Berlin, Hamburg, and other cities. The German law approving of the practice came into effect on Sunday, the Lord's Day. But the practice of homosexual marriage was made famous by the Caesar Nero, who married himself to two young men, Pythagoras and Sporus, after kicking his pregnant wife to death and killing his mother. Europe is facing more unrest as Catalonia has conducted a referendum on whether to declare independence from Spain. Over 90% of the population voted to break away from the Spanish nation. Spain's Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy calls it, quote, an illegal vote, unquote. Catalonia borders on France along the Mediterranean Sea. A polytheistic blog site, Patheos, now includes posts from Satanists like Lucian Graves. The well-known Satanist is calling for Satanists to order cakes from Christian bakers, quote, praising Satan, unquote. Patheos is a blog site celebrating pluralism and polytheism, which includes Satanism, Buddhism, Islam, Mormonism, and, quote, evangelicals, unquote. 2 Corinthians 6:14-15 warns, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial?" Schools in the county of East Sussex, England, have announced they are no longer using the terms A.D. and B.C., referencing the year by the coming of the Son of God, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The U.K. Daily Mail reported Sunday that the standing committees for schools around the country are ditching the reference in favor of the term, quote, Common Era, unquote. It looks like the fifth Planned Parenthood office in Iowa could be closing its doors by the end of the year. A WQAD News 8 report says the Planned Parenthood in Bettendorf, Iowa, will be ending all surgical abortions by the end of the year. Planned Parenthood of the Heartland Services have been seriously curtailed by the loss of government subsidies. In the spring, state legislators banned state funding for the group. Christ is very much active in the country of Iran now. CBN reports that 20 Christian believers from Meshed, Iran, made their way to the Turkmenistan border to receive Christian baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At least one entire family was baptized. The majority that were baptized came to faith watching a Christian television station, Mohabbat TV. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes. On this Tuesday, October 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2017, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.